In this episode, we discuss the TLC home makeover show, Dream House. That's what this thing's about, right? Hey everyone, and welcome to the Flophouse. I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
And I'm Elliot Kalin.
Hey, it's been a while. It's been a while, guys.
It has been. We've been living our lives, living it up.
We had an excellent guest host in Jubin, but we're glad to have Stuart back.
Nobody can replace Stuart. Except for his evil twin, Stu with three U's, Art.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. He has a goatee, that one.
Yeah, yeah. But you sometimes have a beard. So
yeah, I guess I was sitting out on my front porch with my fishing rod on the wrong day, huh, guys?
Yeah.
If you're trying to fish off your front porch, it was the wrong day every
day. When I was going to come over and do a flop house, but I got all scheduled wrong.
Yeah, well, I mean, you were gone, and then I was gone. Elliot was here. Elliot, oddly enough, was in my apartment the whole time, being like, when are we going to do this, guys?
Yeah.
Talking to no one.
Just fondling talking your to cat, the cat. Talking to no one.
And the thing is, Elliot hates the talk.
It. Yeah.
So it was a real hardship for me.
Yeah. Elliot hates to talk, but he loves cats is the thing. That's the weird thing.
Yep. This is Bizarro Elliot we're talking about.
I was trying to. I couldn't think of the tortured syntax that Bizarro Elliot would.
Me-am hate cats. That means he likes cats.
But now we're all
me-am back. Me-am love Popeyes. That means he hates it.
Oh wow!
Bad bye.
That's funny.
America's new favorite character, funny. Bizarro Elliot.
Bizarro Elliot.
Yeah. But now we're all back together. Now America's long national nightmare is over.
Well, some of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It always could turn out that America is listening to this while in its underpants about to take a test it's never studied for.
So, Dan, your couch is now warmer from having three boy bottoms on it.
I don't like the way you put that. I find that creepy.
It smells a little bit like boy farts.
Yeah, okay.
A little bit.
Well, a lot of bit.
Barts, we call them.
Why are you putting your headset in? You want to know what the levels are?
Yeah, I'm trying to maintain.
Well, this is already the most fascinating Flophouse intro ever.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
should we just
a little
get
rusty.
To it? Should
we're
we get
rusty
to it?
On this? Yeah.
Okay. So wait, what do we do here, guys?
We watch a movie and then we discuss it.
Okay.
Typically a bad movie.
Did we watch the movie already?
Let's not prejudge.
Okay.
We did watch it. I'm not surprised that it slipped out of your mind already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it
is... As opposed to being stuck there and not being able to be removed, despite psychiatrists telling you that movie never happened.
Yeah, it sounds like the movie we watched that I don't remember.
Yeah, that's a joke that'll make more sense once Elliot synopsizes the film that we
just
watched.
And what was the film, Daniel?
It was called Dream House.
I don't think it was pronounced that way.
Yep. No, that's how it was set up in the movie. It was like, Daniel Craig, welcome to your dream house.
His name was Daniel Craig in the movie? Yep.
What have you won with your dream house? Well, you've won Rachel Weisz and two adorable children.
Names, TBD.
Mm-hmm.
Not Dream Howls.
I don't know. Is that
well, I don't understand.
Is he a werewolf in this movie?
Or ghosts howl sometimes. Oh, shit.
Oh, boy. Dream Krause, mm-hmm. Where they win Peter Krause.
That's the best Peter Krause of all possible Peter Krauses.
Dream Louse.
So, Elliot, what happened in this movie that we
and Dream
may
Mouse.
Or may not have watched?
Now that you're done rhyming things.
Dream Spouse.
Sure.
Dream Gauss, not a word.
Rouse.
And anyway, Dream House. Let's just do this fucking thing, okay? Dream House.
Dare you to figure out what happened.
I was going to say Clive Owen.
Oh,
Daniel
so
Craig.
Twists and turns.
Daniel Craig is our.
Hello, it's me, Daniel Craig.
That's what he sounds like.
Hello, hello, hello.
He opened with his famous line, hello, hello, hello. It's me, Daniel Craig.
What? What's all this thing?
Oh, run up the apple
Poor
and stairs.
Blimey, it's
Chimney
me.
Sweep, pudding and pie,
Your
eggy bread.
Favorite actor, Daniel Craig.
We turn into any imitation you do turns into Michael Caine.
Mm-hmm. Well, close your eyes. You got Clive Owen on the screen. Same guy.
Same person. You never seen him in the same room at the same time, right?
Never.
Never. So Daniel Craig is Will Attenten, with the ridiculously stupid name, and you'll find out why. He is a book editor who leaves his job in order to write a novel.
His dream job.
And leaves the city to live in an unnamed New York area suburb with his wife, Rachel Weisz, Libby, and his daughters, who are girls.
Trish?
Trish and
There's Titi and something.
And something or other. Anyway, they're in this new house. Everything seems like it's going to be great. We are reminded that they have a happy marriage for about 25 minutes. And then there's a sinister person who seems to be lurking outside of the house. Strange things are going on. Daniel Craig is not welcome in this town, and his family is scared.
And you're assuming everybody else is crazy, because our hero, who we only see the movie through his point of view, couldn't be crazy,
yeah,
right?
He is surely a reliable narrator.
Don't call me Shirley, and you're wrong.
What?
Because it turns out, in an amazing twist, that their house, actually a murder took place there 5 years before, a man named Peter Ward.
Why would that be a twist?
Well, it'll be a twist later. It's a twist. You don't expect the house. It's called Dream House. You expect it to be a great house.
Stuart, don't get twist greedy. All right.
Just like when I saw Money Pit, I expected there to be a giant pit full of money in it.
Exactly.
But in fact, there's a house that falls apart.
Yeah. Anytime the title isn't exactly what the movie is, it's a twist. So he finds there's a murder that took place. A man killed his whole family, and they think this man is trying to come back into the house to kill them. Should I reveal the twists in this movie?
It was a couple years ago, right?
It was 5 years earlier.
Why not reveal the twist? Because as we'll probably get into later, the trailer revealed the twist of this movie.
And also there's no reason to see this movie.
Yeah.
But it turns out, surprise, surprise, Daniel Craig's character is Peter Ward. Will Attenten is based off of his ID bracelet at the mental home, which is like W1LL. 1010.
I thought it was just W11810.
A1010, I think.
I think it's 81010.
It doesn't. It's okay. What, you win. I don't care. It's not worth fighting over.
He listened to a lot of New York radio. He listened to a lot of 1010 Wins.
It's where he got his traffic and weather on the ones.
And that's where it came from. Read a lot of
1010 comics.
And wrote a tauntaun over into Town. Which is a town.
Which is
that's
appropriate.
A town,
it's a
theme
snowbound
town. It is a snowbound town. They ride. That would. What a great movie this would be if it was the same movie, but they just rode tauntauns everywhere instead of cars. And they never explain it. You're like, I guess this movie's on Hoth. I don't know, but anywho. So it turns out, Daniel Craig was this man, Peter Ward. He didn't leave his job at a publishing company.
Peter Ward, that's a crazy name. That's no one would have that name.
He left a mental hospital. They didn't have enough evidence to convict him of the murders of his family, but everyone thinks he did it, and he now has to figure out what's going on. Whenever he goes to the house, it's in perfect condition, and his family is there. Or is it not? It turns out the house is abandoned. It's been condemned, and he's imagining his family. Are they ghosts? He goes back and breaks the news to the ghosts that they're dead. The two little girls die, and Rachel Weisz is not happy. She is not accepting this.
Like, the two little girls are a lot, you know, like, they take the news that they're dead a lot better. Like, I mean, I guess when you're a kid, you know, you haven't...
You believe in your dad.
Yeah.
Your dad tells
appear,
you.
They get sick.
Mm-hmm. You take the world as it comes. I'm alive, I'm dead, whatever.
Look, I'm a kid. I don't know. It's all coming at me. I'm ready for it all. Life's a roller coaster. I want every experience.
And luckily for Will Attenten, beautiful booted neighbor Naomi Watts is
across
there.
The street. Yeah, she does wear boots. That's
that's her number one personality trait.
And she cares about Daniel. Wait. Peter Ward.
Just call him
Peter
Daniel Ward. Craig. It's fine.
Daniel Craig.
Hello. It's me, Daniel Craig. Hello.
Hello. Naomi Watts here. Hello. You know.
Hey, you look like a man who enjoys a pint. Would you like to have a pint with me, Daniel Craig?
Uh-oh. Dan thinks he's Daniel Craig. Quick,
but
Stuart.
He's not. He's a ghost.
Oh, no. But that's not what happens in the movie.
Twist ending.
Naomi Watts and her daughter live across the street. We know that Naomi Watts and her ex-husband are very angry at each other. They don't like each other.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when Daniel Craig took the train back into town, he saw Elias Koteas. You may know him as Casey Jones from the Ninja Turtles movies.
You probably know him as Casey Jones.
Well, it is maybe his...
Your listeners are aware of
his signature role, Casey Jones from the Ninja Turtles movie. It is.
Yeah, name the other role that's indelibly linked to Elias Koteas.
He was in Lost Highway, right? That was him?
Yeah, sure, great.
Okay.
You obviously remembered everything about the character.
Where
he was in Zodiac
where the day
as a sheriff.
You? I think it was in that.
Anywho.
Okay.
He's probably been a creepo on various like CIS-style programs.
He's the guy who looks... Law & Order creepo unit.
He's the guy who looks like Chris Maloney. I know that.
Yeah, I think Chris
they
Maloney...
They should be in a buddy cop comedy together.
They should be brothers. Brothers who are assigned to the same
Josh
case.
Josh Duhamel, Timothy Olyphant project that I'm working on.
Timothy Olyphant. He's like, you might as well just go all the way and say Timothy Elephant at that point.
Timothy Olyphant.
Timothy Mumakill.
What?
Huh?
Oh, what? I thought we were talking about Lord of the Rings again.
No, we're not. Nobody was ever talking about that. So anyway.
Okay, well, we lost Stuart. He's walking away from the microphone.
He's just getting
refilled. Apparently forgot how we did this podcast.
He thought that he was out for a round.
Oh, there he is.
So it turns out his family is dead. He has to get down to the bottom of who killed them because he didn't kill them. Yeah. Naomi Watts is trying to help him. Things are incredibly slow. When I've told you it takes about an hour and a half, but it should take 30 minutes.
Yeah,
you know?
No, the movie is 90 minutes. And
it's very slow.
The one thing that distinguishes it is the big twist comes halfway through the film.
It comes, but I'm not done yet with the twists.
Okay.
There's another twist.
Naomi Watts and Craig T. Nelson are in the house together, the abandoned house that he lived in now that he's Burt Ward and not 10-10 Wins. And her ex-husband and Elias Koteas come in. They attack. It turns out Elias Koteas was a local hitman. Every town's got one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Naomi Watts.
I think he was a drifter, actually. I think that was the thing. But he hasn't drifted that far
Usually a drifter doesn't hang out for 5 years in the town he killed someone in.
Exactly.
He killed a family in. But it turns out that the ex-husband hired Elias Koteas to kill Naomi Watts. He got the house wrong and killed Daniel Craig's family. And Rachel Weisz accidentally shot Daniel Craig trying to shoot Elias Koteas.
So put that on his Yelp review.
As a hitman. Yeah. Not afraid to kill children. Not good at reading house numbers.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder why he didn't check the house number before killing everyone inside.
Yeah, it's a big decision.
Or just think like, no one mentioned two small children. And like the father in this is like, presumably, the guy who hired him wasn't like, and kill my kids, too. Yeah. Like, that's the other thing about
Maybe
this.
Maybe that's why you're not a Hitman Dan. You ask too many questions.
Although Hitman Dan is a great name for his show, I guess, his radio show.
Yeah, Hitman
about Dan. Being a hitman.
Woo! It's me, Hitman Dan.
Playing
Dan
the hits.
The
and
killing people.
Oh, double shot of the day. Looks like two songs back to back. It's Who Let the Dogs Out and Informer. You
this
play
one
a lot
is
of
going
shitty
out
music on your show. By the way, your show is only crappy music.
This one is going out from Jerry in Astoria to Brenda in Staten Island. I'm coming for you, Brenda. And here it is. I got my mind set on you.
Oh, that's a good song.
Is it bit or something? You've been working on this one?
Yeah. He apparently. So they all confront each other in the abandoned house. The ex-husband shoots Elias Koteas, then takes Daniel Craig.
Right in the breadbasket.
Right in the junk. Yeah, right in the man junk. Then takes Naomi Watts and Daniel Craig downstairs, and he starts to set up an elaborate thing where it looks like he's going to try to make it look like Daniel Craig shot Naomi Watts and then himself. And then he's like, forget it, I'll just burn the house down. And starts burning the house down. The ghost Rachel Weisz.
He's not a follow through on the crimes.
No, he's really bad at
he's
this.
He's terrible. Well, yeah, they got the wrong family. He's not. None of them are very good at crime. Rachel Weisz's ghost is still around. She finds Daniel Craig and says, "Wake up, wake up!" Daniel Craig wakes up, saves Naomi Watts, then goes upstairs. The house starts burning. Elias Koteas traps with his last breath traps the ex-husband in the basement. Daniel Craig goes upstairs, says goodbye to the ghosts of his daughters and of his wife. Then there's an explosion of fire. He remembers he's in a fucking burning building.
Yeah.
And he goes outside and
like,
then...
Holy shit, feet don't fail me now.
If he had said that again, it would have been great. And then fade out, fade up. Daniel Craig is walking down the street of New York and he looks in the window of a major bookstore and sees the cover of Dreamhouse
probably
by Peter Ward.
Shakespeare and Company? Or?
No, way bigger than that.
Oh, wow.
This is like a Barnes & Noble and Borders and Shakespeare and Company.
Not an NYU official bookstore?
I don't think so. They usually don't do displays of bestsellers in the windows of that one. Could be.
Yeah, who knows?
Hey, I don't know.
The Columbia bookstore is a Barnes & Noble, so there
Maybe
you go.
Maybe a Hastings?
There you go, man. Man, the chains are running the mom-and-pop university stores out of business. Am I right, guys?
Maybe a The Strand?
Is that what we're talking about? Maybe a The Strand.
I forgot what this podcast is about.
It's not the bookcast.
Okay.
We're recording that tomorrow.
Point is,
right
Daniel
after the
Craig
frogcast
has turned his tragedy
into
dollars.
Into cha-ching.
He's got
like,
a new haircut. He looks great at the end.
Yeah,
of this
he
movie.
Does. The money really makes the dead family go down a little easier.
Although, going into the background of the movie, it makes a little sense because at that point, Daniel Craig, the actor, has found his wife in the actress Rachel Weisz.
If they shot the movie in order, which they may not
they
have.
They probably do.
Yeah, we were looking.
Usually do.
I was looking up the trivia section of IMDb says, like, Daniel Craig, there's a quote from Daniel Craig where he's like, the movie didn't turn out that well, but I met my wife, so fair trade. And I'm like, that's sweet, Daniel Craig, except for we had to watch this movie.
Well,
Dreamhouse.
But we got to imagine Daniel Craig and Rachel Weisz doing it, which is pretty entertaining.
Pretty hot.
And also it means that this was a fair trade organic movie, which is great for the environment and for people.
Does she call him James Bond the whole time?
I assume she calls him Craigers or Oh Danny Boy.
Oh Danny, I like that one.
Or Michael Caine.
I assume she calls him
Spaniel Bag, and he calls her Greco Mice.
I don't know.
They're
why.
Pet names. Why not?
Okay.
And they
we're learning a lot about Elliot's style of pet naming.
Yeah, like my wife, I call her Granielle because her name is Danielle.
Okay.
My pet name for Dan is Ban, and my pet name for Stuart is Gluart. These are names that sound like other names.
That's also your pet name for your horse.
Yeah, Gluart. Well, because she's not very good at being a horse. There's interesting backstory to this movie. Who was it directed by?
It was directed by Jim Sheridan, who directed In America, a very lovely film. My Left Foot, In the Name of the Father.
Is your left foot okay?
It's feeling a little weird, but thank you for asking. Okay. Brothers, that was a movie that
was Brothers the movie with where Mark Wahlberg and his brothers had to track down the man who killed their mother? Was
no,
that
was
brothers?
Four Brothers.
Oh,
okay. That was
Andre Benjamin.
That was based on the Sons of Katie Elder or whatever. This is Brothers was based on a Swedish film. That was the one that had what's-her-face from Black Swan.
And
Natalie Portman and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah.
That was a movie that I got
with Tobey Maguire.
I got a screener of it because I'm a Writers Guild member. And
bragging,
name dropper,
come on,
guild dropper. And Danielle and I were watching it, and
Granielle.
The movie we were watching, Granielle and I were watching it. Druthers is what my pet name for that movie. And an hour into
the, he's always saying, if I had my druthers, he's talking about that movie.
Brothers, druthers. It's 2 hour movie. An hour in, the DVD like screwed up, like the DVD was broken and it wouldn't play any farther. And Danielle and I were both like, all right, that's fine. You know what? Thanks, DVD. You just saved us an hour.
Yeah.
That is a very not very good
movie. Well, I haven't seen that movie, but I did quite like In America. So
In America.
Yeah.
So you liked his well-received movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't know why you're
just support
really
the popular consensus.
You're claiming that I'm jumping on a bandwagon
really going out on a limb.
That was the good movie, so everyone recognized it as a good movie.
No, and I'm glad that you liked a good movie that everybody liked.
Okay.
So, saying is, your taste used to be a little more radical.
So what's the deal? This guy, Jim Sheridan, really wanted to make a crappy, spoiler alert, ghost story movie spoiler alert.
No, he already said the whole plot. I don't know why you're bothering with spoiler alerts right now. Apparently, Jim Sheridan, I can't imagine this movie being any better than it was. Mm-hmm. Not because it's a great movie, because it's not very good, but I can't see how the movie would have been made better. But apparently, Jim Sheridan, they shot one version of it. A lot of scenes in it didn't test well, so they reshot scenes. And then the company that made it, Morgan Creek, took the movie from him and re-edited it, and then put out a trailer which gave away the twist that Daniel Craig was the one, what turned, was Peter Ward.
Yeah.
And so in retaliation, Jim Sheridan, Daniel Craig, and Rachel Weisz all said they would not do any press or publicity for the movie. So it was, aside from Daniel Craig meeting and falling in love with Rachel Weisz, it was a very negative experience, it sounds like, for everybody.
Now, I don't know why Jim Sheridan thought that he needed to do such a commercial movie when clearly he's the heir to the Sheridan hotel fortune.
Spelled totally differently.
Oh, really?
Sheraton.
Okay. But it is very strange.
But seriously, folks.
It's weird that they would give away the, like, this movie only exists for the twist, and that it was, I remember watching the trailer, and watching the trailer was an experience akin to watching
this movie. I'm surprised you remember
movie.
Watching the trailer. I barely remember watching the movie.
No. when I watched the trailer, I remember thinking, like,
thanks, House Fonzie.
As the trailer went on, I'm like, I bet I know what the twist of this movie is. And then they gave away the twist in the trailer. I'm like, oh, well, they just gave it away. But watching the movie, that was the same thing. It was like, you pretty much know 20 minutes in what this movie's about.
And then they tell you, like, 35, 40 minutes in.
Yeah.
It's not, well, the thing is, the twist is not, they don't have much to the movie besides the twist. And what I mean by that is they don't have much to sell this movie on besides the twist. Like, it's not exciting. There aren't any good scenes that, like, are visually arresting. So out of context, they might look neat. Like, the buildup before the twist is not interesting or suspenseful. So I can see the people making the trailer being like, we have nothing to work with here. We just have this one twist to sell this thing with.
Like, they could have spent a little bit of time leading up to the twist where Daniel Craig is actually, like, exploring this supposed ghost house and, like,
or gas.
You know, and being like, getting some, if anything, some cheap scares out of it. But they don't really have to do that.
Because Sheridan seems like doesn't want to make, like, a scary movie. He wants to make, I don't know.
He wants to make a psychological exploration of some kind. But the other thing is, like, at this late date in history,
you mean compared to, like, ancient Rome? Or?
Yeah.
But why do we think that, like, having a movie where the twist is, oh, our lead character is actually the guy that he's been investigating the whole time? Like, why at this point in filmmaking history is that enough to hang a movie on? Like, when was the last time that was surprising?
Or why
was
it
Fight
even,
Club? I mean,
why,
like,
would you think, like, you could even get away with that?
Yeah.
Like,
well, that was the only thing that actually people aren't gonna intrigued guess it right me away. About the trailer was the fact that the trailer gave that twist away. That I was like, they've got to be holding something bigger up their sleeve. Turns out, nothing's up that sleeve.
Turns out the sleeve had room for one twist.
Like a scabby arm or something.
With, like, a tattoo that wasn't done very well. It's all spelled wrong and it's out of proportion with itself.
Yeah, it just said Daniel plus Rachel.
Yeah, but Daniel is spelled with a Y and Rachel is spelled with an X somehow.
Yeah. I don't...
And the plus is spelled with a minus sign. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Instead of being inside of a heart, it's inside of, like, an octagon.
That's pretty meta.
Yeah.
Is that because a heart is similar to an octagon in the world of MMA fighting?
Is that really what the octagon represents? They're fighting for the heart of the audience?
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
Sounds like, yeah, it changes your perspective,
sounds
doesn't
like
it?
MMA sounds like mixed martial emotions. but yeah, there's, like, this movie is, it's one of these old-fashioned movies where it's hung on one twist. And it seems interesting at first that the twist comes 45 minutes in, and you're like,
but then they have
so
to,
you're like, what
I
the
see.
Fuck am I still watching this thing for?
Or, like, this movie's going to keep going where most movies would end. They're going to take us somewhere we've never been, but they don't. They have nothing
they
to do.
They spin their wheels for a while, and then they're like, oh.
Like, let's wrap this up in the TV suspense way.
Yeah, you know, then they're like, okay, what do we got? What do we got? Daniel Craig wasn't the killer. It was some other guy.
So that twist was kind of not the right twist.
And I think the real story of this movie is how inept the neighbor is at killing his wife.
Yeah,
I mean,
he is terrible.
The whole movie is because this guy doesn't give the guy the right address or his hitman fucks up the address.
Yeah.
Like, if you change the actors around, this is like a hitman comedy starring Ben Stiller.
Yeah.
Ben Stiller and Eugene Levy.
In Dreamhouse. Oh, when the Eugene Levies broke and New Orleans got flooded, that was so terrible. So sad.
There were so many American Pie movies that just covered that city. It was a real tragedy.
It's like that Spike Lee movie when Eugene Levy's broke.
And George W. Bush just stood by, did nothing.
Yeah. Really, he just flew over Eugene Levy's house in a plane looking down. Just a bad visual. What is he saying to America?
Yeah.
Is he giving tacit approval to the American Pie series?
I mean, the whole country was straight tripping boo at that point.
They were straight tripping boo.
What movie was that with Queen Latifah? Bringing Down the House. And my favorite thing about it was like a week or two into the release when they were like, this line where he says, "You got me straight tripping boo," is the only thing we have. So the print ads for the movie would have a word balloon going to Eugene Levy's head that say, "You got me straight tripping boo." So people reading the New York Times would see that ad and be like, that's hilarious. He says that? Or like, is the straight tripping boo movie. I'll just see it.
Like that your New York Times voice immediately went to Woody Allen. Like, that is hilarious.
I was
straight tripping boo.
Reading the Times.
Oh man!
If I could only read
Woody Allen impressions.
If I could write that today, people would forget Curse of the Jade Scorpion in a second.
I was masturbating to the bra ads.
The luckiest
and saw
Pierre in the world right now.
Luckiest Pierre.
Yeah. The gay guy in a gay threesome. in the middle, that guy.
Is that what that's called?
That's the Lucky Pierre.
Was he the first guy that ever happened
to?
Yeah,
it was a French guy named Pierre.
Oh, man.
So, Elliot's checking his phone. Dan, thoughts on Dream House? We just talked about the inept murderer.
It's sort of fascinating.
Who then
in
gets
that
killed by Elias Koteas.
You have a solid cast here. You got Daniel Craig. You've got Rachel Weisz. You've got Nicole
Kidman.
Naomi Watts.
Who's kind of like a poor person's Nicole Kidman.
Look, they're buddies. They're buddies.
Like the phrase is the poor man's Nicole Kidman.
They're buddies from their Aussie
days.
She's
a poor person's Nicole Kidman.
I'm trying to keep it politically.
You got Naomi Watts.
She's the Nicole Kidman the government hands out. You don't have a job.
You got Elias Koteas.
But to anybody, man, woman, child.
Yeah. Robot.
You get a Naomi Watts.
It's a solid cast of characters. It's a solid director. And then you just get you wonder what they saw in the screenplay that they're like, we got to sign on to this project.
Well, I assume they all, yeah.
So this,
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure you're with me, Dan. This entire movie could have been spiced up with a little bit of nudity,
mm-hmm.
or a lot of nudity. Let's not limit it.
So shower scenes, mm-hmm. beach volleyball that goes wrong, and tops come off. I mean, it's a little snowy, but that's okay.
I think you might not understand what kind of movie this was. Maybe they have a ghost car wash where the tops go.
Well, it would be a ghost tauntaun wash.
I forgot they all ride tauntauns.
I mean, the house is
and the tauntaun bites their tops off. Yeah,
the house is condemned, guys. So if they gotta save it with a ghost car wash.
Yeah, that's true.
The only way you save condemned properties or properties that are going to be rezoned.
The next door neighbor's pissed off because he had that idea originally and they stole it from him. Or yeah. snaked it out from under him, as we say in the biz. The bikini
what
car
biz?
Wash biz.
Okay. I need clarification.
Is there a lot of terminology for the bikini car wash biz?
Yeah. I've been running a family-owned and operated bikini car wash for many years now.
Really? Family-owned and operated?
Speaking of
so
Stuart.
So it's like you and your mom out washing cars in bikinis.
Speaking of Stuart.
What do you say about my mom?
I think you'll be interested.
I thought we were going to keep this nice. I don't know what's going on here.
Off of Dream House, but you'll be interested to learn this news. Elliot, working a couple of offices down from me already heard it, but I...
Is this about your new shoes?
No,
I mean, that's cool.
through eBay, acquired a DVD copy of the original Bikini Car Wash. So later on this year, I'll be holding a screening in honor of the 20th anniversary.
Oh, that's awesome!
Of the release of the Bikini
that
Car Wash
Company.
That makes
me feel very old. That Bikini Car Wash Company is 20 years old.
I also like that you're warning us about your upcoming masturbation episodes.
I didn't expressly say anything about that.
Yeah, I mean it's in the subtext though.
Yeah,
but not that there's a problem with that. I think that's cool.
No, I just thought you might enjoy that.
No, I will enjoy that. I'll also borrow it after the screening,
mm-hmm. and forget to give it back.
No, and casually. because it's a DVD,
because
it's a DVD, when I return it and you put it into your DVD into your player, mm-hmm. it's not going to
be like last played at.
Yeah, it won't be immediately queued up to some sequence of naked mm-hmm. people.
That's really why DVD technology was invented.
Yeah,
this is a very specific conversation you guys are having.
So you could loan pornography to your friend. Okay, what are we talking about?
Something about a ghost house.
I don't know why
Elliot was fucking playing with his phone and didn't keep.
I was watching an eBay auction that I lost at the last second because I was recording the stupid podcast. God. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Lose?
What's the...
It was for a. It's not. It's a long. I'll tell you afterwards.
Is it for one of those Puppet Master action figures I've been looking at?
Yes.
Full Moon Toys. No. Castle Freak.
It was for at the 1939 World's Fair when most Americans at the time encountered television for the first time. They gave out little cards at the RCA booth that said, "This is to attest that the so and so has been televised," and you could fill out the name and date. And there was one on eBay for a lower price than one that I had been looking at, and I lost it at the last second. Someone snaked me, as they say in the bikini car wash biz. Yeah.
Thanks for keeping it. Keeping it real.
So if the listener of this podcast is the one who snaked me, stop listening right now. Your Flophouse license has been revoked.
Sure.
Go watch Dreamhouse. That's what you get.
Your ears are no good here.
Yeah. So this has been a kind of scatterbrained episode of the Flophouse for a little bit, but
similar to Daniel Craig's character in Scream House.
In Scream Mouse. It's like Scream but with mice. So yeah, it's a movie that kind of is a lot of padding, not good
similar
twists.
Similar to this podcast.
Well.
Direct correlations.
So I guess we should probably give some final judgments on...
if it's horrifyingly scarifying or spookily funny?
We should give some final judgments on Scream Mouse or Fievel Goes Crazy.
It sounds
perfectly
crazy.
Done. Can't wait till Fievel Goes Crazy and Fivehead meet up.
Is a good bad movie, a bad movie, or a movie you kind of liked? Stuart, what do you say about this?
I kind of went into this hoping it was going to be a movie I kind of liked, but I think it could have been a movie I kind of liked if they spent more time actually capitalizing off the fact that they put the twist right in the middle of the movie and actually went in, as I think as Elliot put it, went in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
But they really didn't. They went in the most boring way possible.
Yeah.
And for a movie that spends so much time having characters look at each other and talk about stupid shit, they don't actually really develop any characters other than the fact that we know somebody's a ghost and somebody's crazy. So, bad, bad movie.
Yeah, I'm going to say bad, bad movie, too. This movie could have been maybe a little bit of a surprise. I mean, like I said, it's got a good director. It's got a good cast. Maybe it could be like a little bit of a sleeper. But the thing is, there is nothing to this movie other than the twist. Like, this is a movie that is completely set up as a game. Like, okay, this is a guy who's going back to his family. He's being terrorized by people because there's a murderer on the loose. No, wait, it's him. And then we're going to, burn a little time up. And then we're going to discover that the murderer was actually another guy. And then roll credits. And that's all there is to it. And
I mean,
it was
as
boring.
Soon as you see Elias Codius, you assume he's the murderer.
Yeah. There's no other reason for him to
be there. There's no reason for him to be in the movie. It's like, oh, this is another name actor, sort of.
Like,
so
this would be a good story if it was like a 5 or 6 page EC Comics like story hosted by the Crypt Keeper or the Old Witch or someone like that. But it's
just trying to set up a Crypt Keeper impression.
You got me. Oh boy. The Scream House. Anyway, there's just like there's nothing there and it's a waste of talent.
I was just thinking about it. If like the Crypt Keeper like missed the obvious pun, he's like, looks like it's a real dream horse. There's
Crypty,
no horse
Crypty,
in that.
Hold on, what do you say?
There's no horse in that. That's not scary at all. I'm sorry. I've been very tired. There's been problems at home.
Really giving us a real look into the Crypt Keeper's private life. I would say
real look at the Crypt Keeper's privates.
Dan, how old are you? Like what? So I'm sorry. Dan just suddenly turned into a 7-year-old.
Sorry.
Elliot said privates.
I said private life, and Dan in his mind this went to privates. I am appalled.
No, but think about it, Elliot. What would the Crypt Keeper's privates
look
like?
They've rotted away. There's nothing there. It's just a pelvic bone.
There's not even a bone there.
I mean, that's the kind of soft tissue that really goes away almost instantly.
Yeah.
But what if it was perfectly preserved? Like one of those bully sticks you feed your dog.
But what if?
Like a mummy's penis.
But what if it was perfectly... Like,
I don't know. What situation are you hoping that comes out of that?
It's like this is like some sort of speculative like fiction. Like,
well, we dealt with what if Petty met a dinosaur. So.
You need to take that idea and run with it. That's what you guys do as writers.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm still dealing with what happens if Penny or Tom Petty meets a dinosaur.
Oh, man. Can we move on?
We all said,
can we move
all
on?
Said, we
really?
All said good, bad, right?
We all said good movie.
We all said this is our favorite movie of the year.
Yeah. Give this the
we all
Oscar.
Gave it a rent.
We all say it was robbed. W-U-Z, robbed.
So before we get to letters, a little bit of business.
Bib of business.
I would like to thank people for some donations to the podcast.
Wow, they will be retracting those donations after your privates joke.
Thank you to Dimitri T, Andrew Q, and James E for your generous donations to the Flophouse.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
I'm assuming went to the bikini car wash auction.
And now
you're what's keeping this bird going.
To move on, we have an email from First Name Withheld Maxwell.
Interesting.
And the email is titled, "You Know What You Did."
Uh-oh.
Last summer.
And he goes on to say, "You made my night."
Oh.
I was really worried.
"I had the night off on Friday, January 20th, and rather than attend an opening night Times Square showing a future Flopcast film, The Gray." I don't know about that. It's been getting good reviews.
It has not been.
I'll watch it on my own.
It has been getting good reviews.
From where?
A lot of places.
Harry Knowles on Ain't It Cool News.
Oh, okay, yeah. He's going to put it in Butt-numathon.
He says, "I trekked down to the mouth of Jersey, a.k.a. the Holland Tunnel, a.k.a. Daylight starring Sylvester Stallone, to listen to your..."
I forgot they renamed that tunnel after the movie.
"To listen to you, Golden Gods of Podcasting. It was a joy. I drank fairly heavily throughout the film, and you were perfect gentlemen in allowing me to engage you afterwards and not noticeably scan the room for escape routes."
Dan, you got engaged? Congratulations.
I mean, I've been married for quite some time, but...
Have you told her? Anyway, continue.
"As much as I'd heard about Stuart being the handsome one, I was
still impressed.
No.
Okay.
"As much as I'd heard about Stuart being the handsome one, I was still impressed with the jawline on that motherfucker. Matt of I Love Bad Movies even said we were twins. Swoon. I really wanted to write a love letter to you three. You made my life better. I listen to old episodes while I do housework. Equals points with girlfriend."
Dream housework.
"Elliot's constant references to the old ones in the works of H.P. Lovecraft have me reading a collected works volume that I'm loving."
Oh, good.
"And Stuart gave me his mustache when he was done with it." "I can't wait to see Marmaduke's second movement and hoot and holler when Flophouse Brothers comes up as a written by credit." So that's from First Name Withheld Maxwell.
Thanks, Mr. Maxwell.
And
Thanks, Mr. Maxwell.
I want to read a second letter from someone who attended the show. Titled, "I wish all the movies I watched featured commentary by you three. Just was writing in to say my girlfriend and I were fortunate enough to make it to your screening."
What's Schindler doing up there? Writing the list? Hey, buddy, what you doing?
Hey, why is he driving so fast? Hey, drive.
Hey, that horse is in a war. It's like on a war horse. Anyway, you're saying...
He says, writing to say my girlfriend and I were fortunate enough to make it to a screening of 12 rounds, your screening of 12 rounds. You guys were hilarious. We had a great time." From Danny Patrick, last name withheld. So there you go.
So we went to our screening of 12 rounds, not a different screening of 12 rounds.
Yeah, I mean, there aren't that many screenings of 12 rounds going on.
Not here, but in New Orleans, I think it's still playing.
Oh, man, sure. It's the town movie.
Well, thanks everyone for coming to that screening. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah,
we
had
a lot of fun doing. Yeah, and we had a great crowd that night and a lot of great fans there.
I don't want to tip anything before we have anything set up. We are in talks for another.
Stop teasing.
Are we?
We are.
Yeah, I think we are.
And nobody tells me anything.
Yeah, well, you're just talent.
Hey,
Dan's the organizer.
Just tell me where to be.
I mean, we don't do it that frequently.
Yeah, and then we'll probably do it in like 4 or 5 months.
It happens twice a year.
It's next week, guys.
They've got just 1 week to pretend they know what they're talking about and then forget that.
So,
Flophouse.
Thank you to everyone who came out. We had a lot of people come out from other cities.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Even other countries.
People yeah,
came
I mean,
out from Toronto.
There are people who were in town who came.
Look, I'll take it. I'll take it, Elliot.
Okay, yeah. Well, no, it's still great.
No, there was two guys from Boston who came down just for the show.
Took a bus down from Boston just to see us.
I can only imagine listening to this podcast the whole way there.
Just to
back.
Psych themselves up, yeah.
Sure.
To familiarize themselves with their favorite characters.
Sure, like who?
Stuart.
Rocky Crocodile, Stuart, et cetera.
Hook-Handed Dan. Oliver Sutton.
Yeah, everyone's favorite. Oliver Sutton. Mentioned once, forgotten about. This
and
email's...
Babylon AD, the baby character from the Lost episode.
This email is titled "Concerns for Dan's Safety."
Okay,
and it goes, "Dearest Flophouse, your podcast has brought me countless hours of entertainment. Elliot's quick wit charm quickly warmed its way into my heart.
Oh, thank you.
I would say warmed its way, but whatever.
No, warmed is much nicer than wormed.
Stuart's love of ding-dong ripping and musings on the inner structures of Duckburg only brightens days that have already been luminous and warm.
Thanks to me.
And Dan. Oh, what can be said about Dan?
Nothing.
The Leonardo of the original Peaches. The Cyclops Scrooge McDuck. Dan's considerable talent in... I'll get back to you on that one. I write to you...
Ouch. Letter burn.
Meowsers.
The Flophouse... And Dan specifically, because I'm greatly concerned for your safety. Not
does this
only,
involve you sitting on an exercise ball?
Well, let's get to it.
Okay.
Not only does your podcast feature a notorious serial killer, Elliot.
No, I've killed nobody, and there's no way Vince linking me to it.
But
and Anne Hathaway will back me up on that.
But with the mounting
your
tensions...
Ex-girlfriend?
No.
With the mounting tensions between Dan and Stuart over the film Cool World... And the recent revelation that Dan is, in fact, a giant teddy bear.
I forgot about that, yeah.
I fear for the worst.
We've really built such a complicated backstory.
It's the mythos of our friendship.
Yeah.
We can call it a friendship at this point.
Oh, I thought you were going to say we could call it a mythos.
Yeah.
Many know of Stuart's wish to kill a bear with a flamethrower, and I can only imagine that the temptation has grown worse after starting a podcast with one.
Sure.
Every 2 or 3 weeks, a bear is so close that he could easily burn it alive.
Made out of very flammable plush.
Is this where the Stuart and Dan feud began? Must Stuart be restrained during the recording of the podcast, or else Dan would no longer be with us? I fear that one day Dan's lovely wife Sarah and his cat will awaken to find nothing but a pile of ash where the great pervasoid number one once stood. Who else will creepily comment on the butts of another man's wife? Who else will repeat song lyrics as if they were making a joke?
I hate that.
And most importantly, who will Elliot one-up after winning another Emmy?
Yes.
A world without Dan
McCoy.
You'll
never catch up, Dan.
Is not one I wish to imagine. So, Dan, I see but one option. You must kill Stuart with a flamethrower before he kills you. Flamethrowers at dawn, as they used to say.
Wait a minute.
Hopefully, my fears will be put to bed soon, but I have a feeling that Stuart is a quicker draw with a flamethrower than you. No offense. Sincerely, Matt, last name withheld.
Or it might give me an opportunity to rise from the ashes like a powerful phoenix.
Yeah, yeah.
Or not. I'll just die.
Probably. So it sounds like our listeners are instigating a little bit of a fire feud between you two fellows.
Sure.
What's going to happen?
Hopefully, one of us, like Kirk Cameron.
No, Kirk Cameron.
One of us is going to be fireproof. Mm-hmm. Probably because one of us doesn't look at internet porno.
You know, well, that's neither of you.
Yeah.
The only reason I could think that either of you doesn't look at internet porno is because you have like a real doll or a fleshlight or something that's
or
taking up all
just
your time.
Like our wireless network is down.
Yeah. And the dial-up takes so long.
Oh, man, don't get me started. Come on.
So you've gone to paper only.
Yep. Only Tijuana Bibles for this guy.
Just the old-fashioned type of porn.
I like to see Blondie get a nice rogering from an old-time gangster.
While Dagwood looks on horrified.
They don't do modern Tijuana Bibles anymore. You don't have, like, Garfield Tijuana Bibles.
I mean, I'd probably read them.
I'm sure in some terrifying corner of the internet, you can find
Garfield having sex with lasagna.
Yeah.
How would that even happen?
Well, Odie chokes himself or something.
Yeah.
Wow. It sounds like you've made this already or seen it.
It just flows out of my mouth. Similar to the novel that Daniel Craig's character in Dreamhouse is writing.
Mm, yeah, because it came out of his mouth. And I'm sure.
And onto the page.
I can just see the blurb on Dreamhouse is a chilling thriller. Don't know why the Garfield lasagna sex scene. Buy Dreamhouse, but skip pages 400 through 403.
On the note of me.
Did your soul just leave your body? What was that sound?
Well, thinking about Garfield fucking lasagna, my soul did leave my body a little bit, but I caught it. I caught it before it could fully escape.
Okay, good.
But on the note of me being a giant teddy bear, I'd like to mention that Flophouse fan Govind, I hope that I'm saying that right.
You probably not.
He has done three delightful pieces of, or horrifying, depending on your...
Sure.
But delightful pieces of Flophouse fan art.
Okay.
Or fart.
Of me as a bear that will be put up along with this episode.
At the Flophouse Gallery, also known as the webpage.
Also known as www.theflophousepodcast.com. Dan, or why? Flophouse Podcast.
The there should gallery. Be a section of... Or the day gallery if you look at it during the day.
Not open.
This gallery is going out of business. No one wants to go to an art gallery at 3 in the morning. We should have a section of the website just for fan art. There's been a lot of it by this point.
If I have
quantify
been...
quantify a lot.
Well, at least four.
If I've been a good webmaster...
Which you haven't.
Those pieces should probably be tagged with fan art. But they or may fun. Not be.
Yeah, well, I mean, it just be might be nice to get them all in one place.
Probably if you click on the tab fan art, you'll see them.
But what
stop
if there was like a page
guys,
that
come
said...
On. Let's move on with these letters.
Wow, Stuart is the peacemaker for once. And not just the fresh maker.
So, this...
Got any more letters in there,
this buddy? This last letter.
Or letter.
Is from Brian, last name withheld.
I'm assuming it's Brian Austin Green.
And it's titled, Thanks for 2011.
It's probably Brian Austin Green there.
Hey, Flop Crew. 2011 was a particularly difficult year for me. Nothing too bad, just little things like losing my house, like many other people have, and dealing with my wife's unemployment for most of the year, and thus keeping up with far too many bills. It's been a little stressful dealing with such things while raising a young toddler and making sure all these things never really touched her in a way that was too detrimental. So when I hear the deep, mournful sighs from Dan, I can think, hey, things could be worse. Listen to that man's sorrow. Seriously, though, I've been listening for years, and I appreciate the time and effort all three of you take to consistently make a podcast that's lasted as long as it has. Just even taking the time out of your busy schedules through work changes and everything else to get a podcast out semi-regularly, I appreciate that you guys continue to do it. I'm not saying you have to do it forever, because hopefully someday every piece of cinema will be a masterpiece as Hollywood perfects its craft.
Oh, no. Entropy goes the other way.
It's just been nice to have something familiar and funny and enjoyable to listen to and forget about stress every now and then. I wish I could have donated to the podcast more often, but I'm glad to hear that Dan can afford to keep the podcast going easier now. Thanks for 2011 and 2010 and 2009 while I'm at it. Brian, last name withheld.
Oh, Brian, that was really sweet. Thank
that was
you.
Very sweet. And
yeah, I mean, all jokes aside, thank you for listening, and that really sucks. I'm sorry to hear.
Yeah, and
you
also,
tough times.
Speaking of donations, I think you are exempt from ever doing any donations ever again, and I feel like we need to refund donations that you may have made in the past. I mean,
I'd say the opposite. We gave him a lot emotionally, and
wow,
he has to repay us for that.
Wow, listen to this
guy.
I
mean,
my
you,
new character,
Dan,
Heartless Elliot.
Dan needs to own multiple DVD copies of the Bikini Car Wash.
He only has one.
Yeah.
Only one. What if he
What
ruins
if I want
it?
To loan one out? Then I don't have it. I don't have it. Like in the middle of the night, if I want to watch Bikini Car Wash Company, what am I supposed to
You'll
do?
You'll be literally shit out of luck.
Why literally? I don't understand.
You will be literally shit out of luck.
You'll be literally up a river without a paddle.
I don't think so.
You will be literally dying. Well, thank you. Yeah, Brian, don't donate anymore. You need that money, and we appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but we did have a pretty good 2011. We made some jokes, did our first live show.
Mm-hmm. You got married.
I got married. You guys came to that thing.
Yeah, it was great.
Had a bachelor's party.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's true. In Baltimore, for some reason.
In beautiful Baltimore.
Not in Baltimore,
and
in Glen Burnie.
Dude.
I just needed to pick at that scab a little bit.
And I'm glad that, Dan was able to take on his Dirty Dan persona.
That's true.
And go down with us to
sunny
Glen Burnie, Maryland.
That's a story for another time on Flophouse Chronicles. You'll read that on
the Young Flophouse Chronicles.
I thought it was Flophouse Nights.
Flophouse Nights, our Cinemax show.
Spelled with a K.
Oh, wait, so are we crime fighters?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I misread what the show is like.
Yeah. It's okay.
But yeah, I thought we did some good shows in 2011. We got picked up more listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And
we got picked up for the back nine. That was nice. It was nice. With the network.
I think we just lost some listeners.
Yeah. I hear somehow the sound of people shutting off the computers and throwing them into the river.
Same river.
The river podcast.
Well, the river of life.
So I guess this is the point in the podcast where we make some recommendations.
Sure.
Okay. Movies that people might actually enjoy.
And when do we plug? When do we plug stuff?
At the end, after this. Stuart, you seem raring to go, though. Do you have any recommendations of a movie that listeners might like to see?
Well, people that have been listening for a while probably know that I like myself a good Dirty Dozen-y style war movie.
Men on a Mission, you would
say. Sure, exactly. And this week's recommendation is no different. I am recommending the movie
Invisible Maniac.
I don't think you've recommended that type of movie before, actually. But
listeners know that Stuart loves musicals set in the 30s. So another one of those.
Castle Freak.
So I'm going to recommend a little.
I think over 4 years you've recommended three movies. Anyway,
I'm going to be recommending a movie called Ironclad, starring James Purefoy as a grouchy dude, as a grouchy Knights Templar who leads a ragtag bunch of dudes against an evil English king. So if you like watching a movie set in the Middle Ages where a bunch of dudes hit each other in the head with axes and their heads totally explode and Brian Cox gets both of his hands chopped off before being thrown against a wall with a trebuchet, go see the movie Ironclad. In all seriousness,
that's very specific.
Yes. Is that a section in the store or is that an official genre?
It's under the Brian Cox section.
Excuse me. Can you point me to your knights get hit in the head with axes and their head explodes section? Yeah, it's right behind. It's right behind romance.
So
it's actually go through the beaded curtain. That's porno. Then go through the next beaded curtain. That's the knights getting hit in the head till they're
on a subset of porno, which is knights getting hit in the head.
Like, I will admit, watching the movie, you're not going to be like, oh, wow, this is amazing. I'm looking at movies in a whole new light.
Undersell
it. I get a certain pleasure from watching a movie where you know all these awesome battlers are all going to die, and one dude at the end is going to be like, oh, spoiler alert, oh, we managed to survive somehow, but only one chode is still alive.
So is that dialogue from the movie? Yeah. Avast ye chodes.
Ripped from the headlines. Well, but the thing is, well,
yon chodes will be no match for mine armies.
Let me sell this movie.
Okay, keep selling.
Paul Giamatti plays an evil English king, and he's great. He's got at least one or two great speeches. You got Brian Cox. You got Mackenzie Crook in a non-Pirates of the Caribbean or Office role. You have James Purefoy, for some reason, playing like a grim loner. Which James Purefoy is easily at his best when he plays like kind of a crazy guy, like in on the TV show Rome, but whatever. But it's really fucking gory. It's like watching an entire movie that's just the Battle of Helm's Deep, but instead of orcs, you have dudes who are about to get their head smashed in. And it's super gory, and they play the same music, and it's pretty awesome. So check it out.
All right, Dan.
Ironclad.
I haven't seen a lot of movies, but as it happens, I saw a good movie with Daniel Craig in it, and that was the American version of Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, which
that's good.
It's a movie that I was actually sort of surprised it wasn't a bigger hit. Like, it did not do a lot of box office, particularly in
it wasn't Buffo B.O. is what you're saying.
No, it didn't.
What you're saying is
it
the
did
Hicks
not open
Sticks picks.
It's the Are you saying that right before the holidays, people weren't into watching a Swedish movie set in Sweden about rape?
A Swedish rape conspiracy movie. Yeah. Or a rape-spiracy movie.
It was not a big hit. It was not, did not open huge. It did not open huge.
You
but
would think with the success of the New York Giants that New York Giants owner something Mara, his daughter, in a movie. I fucked that up.
Well,
no, but that Rooney Mara is like weirdly related to the guy who owns the New York Giants.
I did not know that.
Yeah, fun fact. Mm-hmm. Film fun fact.
It wasn't
that
fun?
Up.
Well, not that fun.
I know I messed up. Okay, chill out. Continue. I'm looking at a really small cat on my phone.
But I sort of expected a movie that was based on a international bestseller to open larger, but the thing is, like, it's had some legs. I saw it late in its run, and it was Stuart Tudor's word is showing a tiny cat on his phone.
It looks like a bumblebee in cat form.
Late in its run, we saw it in a completely full theater, and I think that's a testament to the fact that it has legs. Like, people are talking about it and enjoying it, and it's a movie that takes some of the lessons. It's not as good as Zodiac, but it takes some of the lessons that I think that David Fincher learned making Zodiac and applies it to a fiction movie.
Some of the lessons he forgot when he made Benjamin Button.
Right. But it's a serial killer film and a mystery film that has a legitimate slow burn. But it, like, the tension mounts very effectively, and it's a movie where there's a fairly complex mystery story that's told at times almost entirely visually, but you still follow exactly what the clues are that Daniel Craig is putting together, and it makes total sense. And Rooney Mara does a great job as Elizabeth Salander, and it's just a really entertaining movie that I would hate to think is, you know, sort of a footnote in David Fincher's career, when for whatever reason, like, fucking Benjamin Button was like a big movie for him.
So the movie you're recommending is Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Yes, 100%. I'm 100%
the Curious
that
George
movie.
Of Benjamin Button. I will recommend another serial killer movie. It's Serial Killer Night on the Flophouse, except for your movie and the movie we watched. This is a movie called The Chaser. Ironclad.
Yeah.
The Chaser, which is a Korean movie about a former cop who has been kicked off the force and now he's a pimp, and he finds that one of the girls in his stable has been kidnapped by a serial killer, and he has to figure out what's going on and find her. He thinks that his girls are being kidnapped and sold by somebody. He doesn't realize that they are being killed by the serial killer, and he and the police keep coming into cross purposes and running into each other while trying to catch and contain this guy. And there are a lot of very good suspense scenes. It's a really grim movie, and it gets grimmer, but it is a good example of the Korean thriller, you know, genre that's been flourishing over the past, you know, 5 or 6 years or however long.
And I also want to touch on, if you are a really big fan of the Magna Carta document, Ironclad is also good for fans of the Magna Carta.
Guys?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of limiting the powers of King John, so I'm definitely gonna watch Ironclad. Can we plug our things now, Dan?
Sure, why not? Do people have things to plug?
I do.
I got a ton of shit.
Sure,
well, I just have one thing.
Sure,
first off, let me start. I don't know about you guys, but this weekend I got some big plans.
What?
I'm going to crack a couple of brewskis and go see our pal Nick Cage in the hit thriller Ghost Rider.
Wait,
Spirit of...
plugging a movie you're not even involved with?
You're plugging the Ghost Rider...
Spirit of Vengeance movie?
I thought that's what we do when we plug. We talk about what we're doing over the weekend.
We plug things that we're involved with.
Are you getting money from Neville Dean and Taylor? I don't understand.
No, I wanted to see if you guys wanted to go see Ghost Rider with
me.
Well,
you could have asked us that off air.
But
not in plug form.
It's not a plug.
But I thought our Flophouse fans would want to go see it. Okay, fine.
With you?
I mean, maybe. So go to a movie theater and
somewhere
we
in
might
the New York City
up.
Area.
On a weekend.
It's possible that we'll all be there.
Cracking beers, watching Ghost Rider.
I mean,
well, I have an actual plug for a thing.
I got
I'm
another
doing.
One. That was
I
just
will,
to
but
start.
Let me go with this one and then you can go to yours. The next in my rapidly diminishing series of film screenings is coming up.
Diminishing? Why?
My series Closely Watched Films is coming to a close due to my overscheduling of myself. And at some point in the future, I'll show movies again at 92 iTribeca, but I have 2 months left, and then I am going to draw this series to a close.
Take a hiatus.
Take a very long hiatus. And so on the first Thursday in March, which I think is March 1st, I will be showing The Great Northfield Minnesota Raid, a really great 70s Western crime action comedy starring Cliff Robertson and Robert Duvall. It's about the James Younger gang trying to knock off a bank in Minnesota and totally screwing it up completely. And it's a really good, kind of this patchy but in a really interesting, fun way, 70s Western that's been overlooked by most people. And that will be 7:30 p.m., first Thursday in March. And my guest will be Jason Jones, correspondent for The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. And you may know him
Mr.
from,
Samantha Bee.
Yeah, he may know him as Mr. Samantha Bee.
Hollywood Kalen over here calling in the big guns.
Oh, yeah. Well, I only got two shows left. I got to bring in big guests.
Who's next? Hugh Jackman?
Yes, Hugh Jackman. Okay. No, not Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman.
But so Jason Jones and me will talk The Great Northfield Minnesota Raid, a really fun movie.
And I also want to plug March 8th at Charlene's Bar is going to be a Purim party for all you non-Jews out there. That's a costume party. It's going to be a lot of fun. They're going to be doing raffles for charity. That's Charlene's Bar on 353 Flatbush in Brooklyn, New York. Please come down. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm sure I'll be dressed up as something really cool, like Nicolas Cage or something.
Yeah, or Drongo Marenghi. What's his name from Boyfriend School?
Drongo Marenghi from Boyfriend School.
That's as cool as it gets.
Yeah. Elliot will be.
That's what all women want.
Some kind of an old-timey movie actor, and yeah. Dan will be a muscle man or something.
Awesome. So guys,
not in real life.
So.
Yeah.
This is the part of the show where we end the show.
You mean the end of the show?
Yeah, what's going
That's
on
That's what
here.
It's called.
Whenever we end the show, you get this look on your face like you're about to pull one over on us.
Yeah, like you got your James Franco look.
Yeah. Suddenly the abominable Dr. Fives is running the show.
This whole thing has been a trick. And you're trapped in my infernal machine.
Oh, no. You mean your apartment?
Yep. So, P.S., I love you, and good night.
And good luck.
You know what? Well, maybe we should take care of the Stewart and end the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. Again, for some reason, my name is Stewart.
My name is Elliot.
My name is Dan.
Thanks for listening.
Good night.
Peace.
Or good morning.
Deuces. Juicy.
Are you moving the microphone away because you don't want me to talk in this episode?
No, I'm trying to.
Because I'm kind of the meat.
Mm-hmm. In the Flophouse sandwich.
Would I be the mayonnaise at that point?
Yeah, emphasis on man.
Oh, wait.
The mayonnaise.
Yep.
And Dan is the plate.
You're the...